Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, priest, and God bless you. The Lord is good. To God be the glory. So happy to have our sister Bola come fellowship with us again today. After a long, long time. Abraham, I swear. Welcome. Praise God. Yes, we are so happy to see you. Fellowship of brethren is such a wonderful experience. You gain encouragement, whether you like it or not. When you are despondent, you are depressed, you don't even know what to do, and you're confused, you are discouraged. It's a child of God. Try fellowship and see what will happen. You get encouraged by the testimony of people, and mere seeing fellow brothers, you want to continue to run the race. God bless you all. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for another opportunity once again to have this wonderful fellowship, Lord, with one another and also with you. We give you all the praise. Receive all the praise and glory. Even as we minister your word, that you use me to speak comfortably unto Zion this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever word you have for each and every one of us, help us to recognize it, to act upon it in faith, so that it will profit us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Some time ago, I talked about the gates of Zion. And that concept of the gates of Zion was taken from the book of Nehemiah, where in Jerusalem there are several gates, and we talk about 10 gates. Emphasis that first day was on the valley gate experience in the Christian life. So I'm going to pick one of the gates today. Coincidentally, is the last of the gates there that we treated. It's called the Miskad Gate, Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 31. The Miskad Gate was where King David would examine his troops. You know, the army, the troops, his soldiers, the men of war, we examine them, we inspect them. When there is an inspection done by president, you see it. No, they look at everything, look at the people, look at how they march and everything. So it was called the Miskad Gate, but the common name for it is the Inspection Gate, where he inspected them for all that they do. All right. So, the title of the message is The Inspection Gate. Amen. The Judgment Seat of Christ. The Inspection Gate, the Judgment Seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. What does it say? It says that we shall all appear before the Judgment Seat of Christ, all believers. Not every creature. It doesn't mean believers and unbelievers. No. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Right away, I want to say, you hear the word judgment there, that judgment is for rewards. And that's why we're going to listen to this song. When Jesus comes to reward his servants. Praise the Lord. Couldn't get it. All right. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, Will you be ready? He's coming to reward us. We have been laboring. Every one of us, no doubt about that. As children of God, we labor. It's true, some people have specific ministries and all that, but all of us are children of God. We do labor. Is it in praying for people, standing in the gap? That is laboring. Is it in visiting, encouraging fellow brothers and sisters? That is labor. Is it in preaching? That is labor. Is it in ushering people? That is labor. Is it in singing praises to the Lord and leading the congregation in worship? That is labor. In fact, whatever you find yourself to do in the house of God, that is labor. And that you will be rewarded, surely about that. But there are some things we need to consider to get the full reward for your labor of love in Jesus' name. And that's what this is all about. The judgment seat of Christ is for reward. You are going to be rewarded. Don't be discouraged, my brother, my sister. You know, there are pressures. You know, sometimes it's very hard to continue doing what you have been doing. But just know that at the end, there's going to be reward. Not only here in the hereafter, even on earth here, God does reward his children. Praise God. Another passage is Romans 14, verse 10. Examine 2 Corinthians 5, 10, talking about the judgment seat of Christ. This same concept is there in Romans 14, verse 10. All right. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou... Why does that say? That's so clear. But thou set at naught thy brother. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Praise God. Matter of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. There are other scriptures, but just cited these two scriptures. No, that there is a time wherein we are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So each of us shall give account of himself to God. What we have been doing for him, we are going to give account. Yes, but this account is not for punishment. I'm emphasizing that to know that I'm talking about our rewards. This topic, this message is about how God will reward us. Amen. Hebrews 9:27 says, that is appointed unto man once to die, after that judgment. So there is judgment for the believer and the unbeliever. However, what we're talking about today is judgment of believers. And the judgment of believers is unto reward, never for condemnation. You know the reason why? Our sins have already been judged. If you are a believer, you have given your life to Christ, your sins have been judged at the cross of Calvary already. Amen. Yes. That is why we are not going to face another judgment for our sin. Christ has paid the price once and for all. All you need to do, like the man of God said last Sunday, is for you to maintain your walk with God. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. And make sure you finish well and strong. There will be reward. Same problem has been dealt with. Christ has done that. Amen. Daniel chapter 12 verse 2 says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So that scripture in Daniel 12 verse 2 talks about two judgments. It talks about the believer's judgment and the unbeliever's judgment. Focus today, like I said earlier, is on believer's reward and judgment. Enoch and Elijah who are foretithes of the saints of God and who are glorified without seeing death, are exceptions to the rule of Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die after that judgment. Some of us, one way or the other, we make that general statement. Everybody must die. That's not right. That's not correct. There are people who have never died. Elijah didn't die. He went up to heaven. He was translated or raptured. Amen. Enoch was raptured. In Hebrews 11, told that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He has not died. So can't you see that those are exceptions? And at Jesus coming in the translation, multitude of saints of God will be caught up alive without seeing death physically. So when you are making statement, be very careful about it. All must die. No, all must not die. In fact, the Bible says, behold, we shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. There will be a transformation. We put on the glorified body, that body that cannot be killed. Flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven. But when we put on the glorified body, you can go anywhere and you can appear through walls without anybody opening for you. Amen. Like Jesus did after the resurrection. That's the glorified state. And we must all put on that body. And it will happen at the translation. Amen. It's important to know that there's nothing like reincarnation. If for any reason you have believed that, please unlearn it and debunk it. It's not scriptural that somebody who had died will come back. No. They are just some kind of familiar spirit that monitor and mimic the spirit of the dead. And you think it's that real person that has come. That's just about that. There's nothing like purgatory. No second chance after one is dead. That's what Hebrews 9 verse 27 says. The judgment of believers and unbelievers is separated by a period of 1,000 years. Who will be judged first? Believers or unbelievers? Anybody? Believers. This judgment seat of Christ will happen after the translation. And it will happen in heaven. Judgment of believers is not to determine whether they will make heaven or hell. The judgment of unbelievers occurs at the millennial reign, at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, at the white throne judgment. Revelation 20 verse 14. That's when the judgment of unbelievers will take place. For then, 1,000 years earlier, the judgment of seat of Christ had taken place. Amen. The judgment seat of Christ occurs in heaven between the rapture and the second advent of Christ. The rapture is not the second advent of Christ. There's difference. The rapture or translation happens when Jesus comes to take us up in the earth. The second advent is when Jesus Christ comes at the end of the great tribulation to punish the Antichrist system. And hopefully the saint that had been raptured earlier will come with Jesus. Find that in Revelation 19, 11 to 15, thereabout. Believers' sins were judged at the cross when Jesus paid the debt for our sins. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He died to satisfy the wrath of God on our behalf. His death brought reconciliation between God and man. And that is why in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have been justified. You have been declared righteous by the Lord because you believe in what he has done for you. So, the judgment of your sin has been taken care of. But one thing about believer's sin, after you become a believer, you still sin one way or the other, but you are not a habitual sinner. Amen. You don't make a practice of sin anymore. You have a new nature. Let me describe this one. It's like a sheep falling into a mud of water, muddy pond. And then a pig, we consider that one as home. Ah, beautiful. To the pig, oh, that's heaven. Though the pig we enjoy delight in the mud. And we want to stay there possibly forever. So we want to get out. That is like sin. The mud is like sin. An unbeliever, somebody who is not born again, lives in sin and delights in it because there are benefits that accrue to the flesh. When you commit sin, it gives some kind of pleasure. But not the believer, not the sheep falling into that kind of same mud. If a sheep by mistake falls into that mud, that sheep will be very uncomfortable. Will not be happy at all. And will use all his strength to get out of that place. Who might die in the process of trying to get out of it? Because that's not his place. So you can see, I've used that to illustrate the sinful nature of the unbeliever. They like it. That's their delight. But the believer, anything you do that is contrary to the will of God, Holy Spirit is just there to check you through your conscience. You've done wrong. And you make it right. The moment you are convicted like that, you make it right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are going to continue on this subject. In the Greek, the word bima is used for the judgment seat of Christ. The word bima, B-E-M-A, is a Greek word for an elevated platform. Just like this. Possibly even higher. And that platform was for the panel of judges during athletic competitions or games. And the purpose for the elevation is so that they will supervise and give reward to those contestants that have won prizes. Everybody will see them. Everybody will applaud those who have received the prizes. So that's the bima, that's the concept of the judgment seat of Christ. The bima judgment is for reward of athletes. So that's in the physical. That's to tell you that this topic we're talking about is really for reward. It's not for punishment. That bima was not to find fault with the athletes. Say, oh, you did this wrong, you did that. No. It's to recognize those who had excelled and reward them publicly. So the judgment seat of Christ, again, I'm emphasizing it so that you not take it for the other side. It's going to be for your reward. For all that you have been doing for the Lord, the Lord will reward you in Jesus' name. Man, the sole purpose of Bema was for rewards and trophies won during the game. It was never to disqualify anyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 to 15, we are going to read that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 to 15, because it really describes this bema seat of Christ. Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of house construction to illustrate how we shall be rewarded. Apostle Paul had laid the foundation of the spiritual building project with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2, verse 20. So we are going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear, neither yet now are able. For ye are yet carnal. But whereas there is among you envy, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men, as mere men? For why one said, I'm of Paul, and that would say, I'm of Apollos, Are you not carnal? Like having party spirit. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollo watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that gives the increase. Now, he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace which is given unto me as the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yes, so as by fire. Praise the Lord. We stop at verse 15. So, like I said, Apostle Paul is using the metaphor of house construction for the body of Christ, for the body ministry. Now look, Jesus Christ has laid the foundation. He is the cornerstone of the church. But that's just foundation. Ministers of the gospel, they are the ones to now build. It's like a spiritual, the church is like it's a spiritual building, it's a building. And so, the emphasis here is as we are building, we should be careful what material we are using. Amen? Our reward will depend on the quality of building materials we use. What building materials are you using? Let me tell you, there are two categories that Christians use. And you have to know the material you are using. Because some material will not stand the test of time. Fire will burn them off. And so there will be no reward. Okay, let me say this, that in heaven, we are not all going to get the same reward. But we are all going to be rewarded. If you make it to heaven, some people are going to have multiple crowns. Some people may not have any but the crown of life. So there are going to be differences. Because even the Bible tells us, as one star differeth in glory from another, so it is with our rewards. In the night sky, when the sky is bright and you can see the stars, you see some are shiny, very bright. And some look very tiny, very, very tiny. Bible uses that similitude. As one star differs in glory from another, that's how our reward will be. And you are laboring various degrees and forms. And that's how your reward will be. It will be proportionate to your effort and to what effort you put in preaching the good news, in laboring for the master. But there are two types of materials people use. Be careful you use the good material. The first group of material people use is fireproof materials. Fireproof. When fire comes, cannot burn it. And that is what is described as gold, silver, and precious or costly stones. That's what believers who get maximum reward, that's the quality of their service. The other category of building material, combustible materials. One that can be burnt up with fire. Like hay, wood, and stubble, or straw, or stump. Those are the two categories of materials. So you are the one to examine the quality of material you are using to build right now. Our words include what we do with our talents, how faithful we are in using our giftings, how yielded we are to the Holy Spirit. For Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit? Do you do things carnally? Or you seek Holy Spirit guidance in whatever you do? Anything important to you in your life, you know, you have to seek God first. Of course, you know marriage is so very important. You seek God first. What about business venture? It's also important. What about investment? If you just say, oh, Mr. So-and-so invested and is getting so much blessing, and so-and-so invested and getting so much blessing, then me too. You may make a mistake and you miss it. You don't know the secrets of those people. So we need God's guidance in everything, both great and small. Amen. How yielded we are to the Holy Spirit leading is important. It's part of the world. Our words will be judged. The words we speak. Matthew 12, 36 to 37. Even our thoughts will be judged. Our thoughts. Can you imagine that? Nobody knows your thoughts, but God knows your thoughts. He knows what you are even thinking right now. There may be somebody right here in the hall, but it's not. The person's focus is not what I'm saying, but somewhere else. Somewhere else. And that's not right. So, but our thoughts will even be judged. Matthew 15, 19 to 20. Now, let's read Matthew 12 first. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. This is the word of God. It's not my words, not Apostle Paul's words. Word of God, inspired of God. Every idle word. There are people who jest. They make a habit of jesting and just saying things and just saying things and just saying things. But do you know those words will be judged? So you have to be careful the way you speak. You don't just speak to please yourself, but also to please your master and to edify those who hear you. Amen. So our thoughts will be judged. Our heart secrets. Wow. Secrets of our heart will be judged. Nobody knows, but God knows. Romans 2, verse 16. Our secrets, our heart secrets. So it means that this judgment is serious. So even what I'm thinking, even the secrets of my heart, you know, God will judge it. What about our motives? The reason why you do what you do. My God. Our motives. Is this for self-glory or for God's glory? That's where we need to examine the motive of what, how we do what we do. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21. I think we should take note of that. Even our motives are not to anybody. Why are you doing what you're doing? I don't know, but God knows. So from today, you pay particular attention to the motive behind whatever you do. Amen. Words represented by costly materials include honesty, integrity, pure, right living, agape love for God and for men, patience, meekness, humility, and peacemaking. Matthew 5, verse 9. Combustible work materials would include things like this. Include cheating, cheating. Cheating is cheating. Whether marital cheating or exam malpractice or whatever, cheating is cheating. Don't cheat your business partner. Don't cheat anybody. It's not a virtue. So combustible work materials include cheating. You are doing the work of God, though. Even in doing the work of God, there is cheating. Be careful. Dishonesty. Even in working for God. Youthful loss. Coming. Pride of life. Good things done with wrong motives. Doing right thing, good thing with wrong motives. Or right, wrong approach. I remember King David wanted to bring back the ark from the Philistines. And he made a beautiful cart to convey the ark of God from the Philistines even unto Jerusalem. You know what happened? That Uzzah, the ark was about falling, and Uzzah wanted to just help God. Wanted to help God. God, that signified the presence of God at that time. But he was struck dead. And then there was soberliness everywhere. What could have happened? What could have happened? Well, a retrospect made David to understand that he did it wrong. Because the priests were supposed to carry the ark on their shoulders and never on any man-made cart. So God has his own specification about how we should do his work. Otherwise, we'll do the work of God without pleasing him. It's possible to do the work of God without pleasing God. So we have to be careful about all these parameters. So combustible work material would include cheating, dishonesty, youthful loss, pride, doing good things with wrong motives, as in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41 says, as one star differs in glory, that is how our rewards will differ. How do we prepare for Bema, the judgment seat of Christ? Number one, First Corinthians 11, 28, self-judgment. Self-judgment. The Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But let a man examine himself. That's self-examination. You examine your heart continually to see that what you are doing is right and is in line with the word and will of God. Amen. So if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. That is why we need to judge ourselves as individuals. I mean you yourself. You be the better judge based on the word of God. Judge yourself and repent where you need to repent and ask for mercy and pardon. But if you don't do that, it's like you're accumulating something, you know, waiting for God's judgment. And, you know, your sin has been judged. It's expected that you live a holy life. Whenever a sinner sins, just like a sheep falling into that muddy mud, no, do not delight in it. You ask God for pardon. Because by mistake, you didn't intentionally go into the mud. So God will have mercy. That's how God cleanses us. He purges us continually through his word and through confession. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and trespasses. Prompt confession of every known sin. Don't procrastinate. If while we are here, the Holy Spirit is convicting you that you did something wrong to a fellow brother or sister, whether here or something, you know, you have to repent of it. Don't procrastinate. Don't say until next time. Because you don't know the next 1 hour. You need to live right and make peace as much as you can with everybody. Praise God. From confession of every known sin, 1 John 1:9. Constant prayer and meditation on God's word. Romans 12:1-2. You pray and meditate. This is one of the reasons why we pray and meditate, so that God will show us our way. You know, cleanse me from every secret fault. Which are the faults? Except you even read the word of God, you won't even know whether you are at fault. So that's one way of extraying our heart, reading and meditating upon the word of God. Having a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Talking about preparation for this reward throne, this reward, this bema, judgment seat of Christ. We are to have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Don't say, I love God, but I hate my brother. I hate my sister, but I love God. That's pretend. That's hypocrisy. You know, there's no hypocrisy in serving God. So there are people who have such attitude, but you have to make sure you are right both with fellow brothers and sisters and with God Almighty. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Apostle Paul made that a policy. And I have made it a policy. You too should make it a policy. That you should always be careful to have a conscience void of offense towards brothers or sisters and also towards God. Amen? And herein do I exercise myself to have always, not sometimes, not once a week, always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. That's very, very important. We are to occupy our talents and gifts and never to be lukewarm. God has given every one of us talents. You got gifts. If you don't know, ask God. Study to find out the kind of gifting that you have. And use it. Gifts are not to be buried like that wicked servant who buried his talent. No, he buried it. And he did trade with it. And the master was not happy with him. And God will not be happy with you after he has invested so much in you. He has given you gifts, special gifts, not common gifts. You can't buy these gifts. And he has given special talents. And then you refuse to use them. And you think it's just going to be like that. Well, like I said, our sin has been judged. But talking about reward, the magnitude of your reward will depend on how far you've used all what that's given you. God has given us all these things to profit the kingdom of God. Amen. Occupy our talents and giftings and never to be lukewarm. If you are lukewarm, you know that God will not be happy with you. Anybody who is lukewarm needs to go back to our first love. Like this Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, God x-rayed this church and found that this church is rich in money, rich in goods. That's Laodicean church. It just describes exactly the kind of church you are seeing today. We are rich in goods. We have no need of anything. But God said, oh, but you are naked, you are wretched, and you are blind, and you don't even know it. That's the church today. Church is an affluent church, generally speaking. So as an individual, if you are full of activities and you think that's just okay, please make sure you are doing it in accordance with the will of God. Don't be lukewarm. If you are lukewarm, God said he will spew those who are lukewarm out. He said, it should either be hot or cold. You are neither cold nor hot. Therefore, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's God's word. Nobody wants to hear that. We want to receive a glorious well done at the end of our race. Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. May our lives be praiseworthy. And may we finish well and strong in Jesus' name. Amen. Mine, please, can I have that song script? I'll still sing it because it's very, very relevant to the message. When Jesus come to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night. Faithful to him, will he find us watching with our lamps all trim and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the so bright home? Say, will he find you are misty watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. Oh, can we say we are ready, sister, ready for the so bright home? Say, will he find you are misty watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brethren, ready for the so bright home? Say, will he find you are misty watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Have we been true to the trust he left us, though we seek to do our best? If in our house there is none condemn us, we shall have a glorious rest. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the so bright home? Say, will he find you are misty watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching them? Oh, can we say we are ready, brethren, ready for the so bright home? Say, will he find you are misty watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Amen. Be ready, my brother. Be ready, my sister. How can we be ready? Some may ask. If you are here, you're not sure of how to be born again, that's why we are here. You need to know before you go. Even those who are listening online. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not to talk of entering in. So it's very, very important you must be born again. And being born again does not mean being baptized. Doesn't mean that. Like myself, I was baptized once upon a time. I was confirmed, taking Holy Communion, going to church, defending the faith of the church. And I was not saved. I was not born again. I didn't have assurance of where I would spend eternity until somebody told me about Jesus. Now I'm telling you, if you are the one concerned, you've not given your life to Christ, this is the time to make it right. Religion is no substitute. for salvation. It's not the same thing as salvation. You can be religious and lost. Many people are full of religion. They are lost. There are thousands of religions in the world today. And except they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, there is no assurance of heaven for any of them. That's what the word of God says. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus. So, if you are not sure you are born again, just bow down your head and say this prayer with me. Even if you are listening online, wherever you are, you can give your heart to Christ right there. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. I believe you died for me. I believe you were buried for me. I believe you rose again and you are coming back again for me. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Give me grace to run this race, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Say that prayer sincerely, and that's the beginning. That's how I said it many, many years ago. And the Lord's grace is upon me, and the Lord's grace will keep you until the end in Jesus' name. Is there anybody sick? Sickness is oppression of the enemy. The blood of Jesus Christ not only forgives sin, but cleanses us from diseases and sorrows. God's will for you is that you live a healthy, divine life. Healthy life. Divine health is your portion in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to pray. You have some kind of sickness and you want to come out. If you want to come out, you can come out. Otherwise, I pray for you wherever you are. There's no distance with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says, by the stripes of Jesus were healed. That woman who had issue of blood for 12 years made up her mind. Say, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. In other words, she was whole before she even left her house. She had made up her mind. By faith, touch the garment of Jesus now. Jesus is passing your way. Touch his garment by faith and you receive healing in the name of Jesus. He's well with you in Jesus' name. God bless you all.